from the Ezekwe Nana Kalu household clan. Can you please welcome the Kalus into the studio with us tonight? Let's welcome the Kalus. We got Eze, yes, we got Sapphire, and we got Ezekwe Nana Kalu. Ezekwe is now Ada Eze. Sapphire is now Mama Eze, Mama Daeze. And we got Adaeze. All right. How is everybody there?
We're fine, sir. Thank you very much.
Yes.
Bye.
Oh, I love that Adaeze. And I like that sign right behind you. Welcome to Rehoboth. The Lord has made room. Big room for us. Yes, you know. Good to see you all.
Thank you, God.
Yeah, I thank God as you are manifesting. We're going to see more. Yes. Okay, now. We're going to have more families like yours. Your story, your journey is inspirational. It's challenging. And of course, to the glory of God, brings tears to my eyes, tears of joy. It's been awesome, awesome, awesome. So please, everybody, yeah, everybody's welcoming the Kalus. I can see them online, on YouTube, on Facebook. Yeah, even from Scotland, from Edinburgh. Yes. Wow, wow, wow. Now, you have been sharing. You are the patriarch of the Nana Kalu family. I've been listening to you, enjoying the things you've been sharing on divine, you know, innovation. There were some very key things, very deep things you've been sharing. I love the fact that, you know, you shared from the Bible, showed the people who innovated with the help of the Spirit of God from the Bible. And then you went further last week to actually now show us people in our world who have lived in our own time that also divinely innovated. But in all these deep things you shared, there's one thing I picked. You divinely innovated yam and spaghetti. So I am throwing the question to Sapphire. How has the yam spaghetti innovation, or has he been eating it by himself? Has he been tried, tested, and proven?
It's been tried and tested. Every time he comes up with different things when it comes to noodles, he can do different things. So the yam and noodles was quite interesting, but it was nice.
Wow. So that was just a tip. So there have been other inventions,
yes,
other innovations.
Lots. He does a lot. Yes.
Wow. So thank you, sir. You are not just preaching it. You are living it. You are doing it. You are attempting it, trying it, and shining it. So everybody, next time we all will be going to the Kalus and expect to have some real spaghetti yam formulas, okay, to the glory of God. So thank you very much. And, you know, it's been a journey for you as a family. I know it's been a journey. How have you been, you know, behind the studio? I was trying to gist with, you know, with you before the time jumped on us. Okay. I mean, how have you been innovating? What do I mean? For nine years. Okay, let's start your journey. Let's do it this way. Okay. We'll go into the Bible, people, but I just love it real, practical, unscripted. I know, you know, it's been a journey because we, by the grace of God, have the privilege to also journey with you. The two of you are in courtship, you know, for this iPad generation. The two of them were going out. But no, I don't think they just go out anymore now. Seeing each other, whatever that means. Before they finally married, okay? How many years were you in courtship for?
So 9 years.
9 years. You were in custody for 9 years.
Oh,
and then you then married for, before Adeze came, for another, nine. How many years? Another 9 years.
Another 9 years.
Have you ever thought about this before? Or this revelation? You know, it's just coming to me now. That's true, you know.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, so the transition, because I know it was a journey. The 9 years was not, the first 9 years, to the best of my knowledge, was not meant to be 9 years. You know, you will have married earlier than that. And then, of course, the following 9 years after marriage, before you had your first child, was also not meant to. Okay? If you had your way, it would not have been, you know, it would have been shorter. So, I mean, when you look at it, we have been talking about innovating, and that's, of course, a challenge or a problem, because part of the things you shared with us was, you know, seeing a problem and solving, creating a solution for it. So your transition from being a boyfriend and girlfriend, right, and then being husband and wife. Now, the weight as boyfriend and girlfriend, let me use that word, and then the weight as husband and wife before you now became father and mother. I don't know, what can you say were a bit of your challenges and some things you had to, let me use the word innovate, while you were waiting? Because this waiting we're talking about were not, to the best of my knowledge, were not planned, and also was not that easy. It was not that easy. So, what has been the difference? What adjustments would you say you had to make along the way? You know, either of you can answer, you know, anything that drops in your mind. So let's look at the first half of the journey. Okay? The first 9 years of, you know, cutting.
Thank you, Pastor, for having us. Thank you, everyone, for being part of tonight's Bible study. I think for me, the first 9 years, the biggest challenge was my mindset shift, just changing my mindset and the way I view things. It was really good, you know, look, benefit of hindsight, looking back, those times, because one of the things I said to my wife then was that, you know, we were tired, we were drained. A lot of the people that hadn't even started talking about relationship when we started cutting, we had seen them get married and have children, and many more children, and we were still waiting. We had a lot of people say to us, you know, just elope and just go and get married. You know, you are Christians, you know, nothing will happen. We had other people like yourself. My mom, I remember saying, you know, just do it the right way. Don't cut corners, do it the right way. So for me, the one of the takeaways for me was just learning to discern different voices, because I had a lot of we heard a lot of things during those times, and some of the things we heard seemed good, nice, seemed practical, but just learning to sieve the different voices was one of the adjustments for me. The other thing was just getting good counsel, because at the time, one of the challenges we also had, I had, was that I was also struggling at that time to get a job. At the same time, I was trying to make ends meet, and it was a challenging time. Made a few mistakes, but I think the adjustment was, for me, was just learning. It felt like a business experience, learning to value each other, learning the what really mattered, what was important. Because at some point, we even said to ourselves, you know, if the parents ever give us the consent, we just want a Bible study wedding. Because we understood that the big ceremonies and the big occasion wasn't really necessary. You know, we had waited and we just wanted to just get their blessings and just get married. Whether it was one person, two people, whether we wore suit or a boxer, a short or a single, we didn't. It was just we were tired,
drained. Long. Somebody in the studio typed there. That's long suffering. Now, Sapphire, for you as a woman, you know. Experiences of a man, you know, at times is not the same as a woman. Now, you were there, and of course, waiting, approval, the challenge. I mean, what Ezekiel said there is just is driving it home. While you were waiting 9 years, people who had not even started a relationship, married, and even had children. That's 9 years before you even got the go-ahead to marry. No, for you as a woman, what was going through your mind? I mean, how, you know, if you can cast your mind back. You know, at times when God has turned around our captivity, we dream, we are like men who dream. But going back, can you remember anything? And then I want you now to describe the next 9 years after you married, waiting for the baby.
Thank you once again for the opportunity. Those years were like ACP said, it was quite difficult. I remember, I don't know which year was it, I told him, I think it was a sixth or seventh year, I'm trying to remember which year. I told him, you know what, let's quit, because I knew before we even got married, I told him what would happen. I sensed what would happen. But the truth is, I didn't know it would take that long. For those who are wondering why we waited that long, we were just waiting for my dad's consent. So that's
right.
I come from a Catholic background, and my dad wasn't sure. Let me use that word. So he wasn't sure about who I was getting to, about AZP. Let me use that word. And kind of like delayed. His desire was for all his children to get married in the Catholic Church or to a Catholic person. That's what happened. So that was a bit. That was one of the reasons why there was a delay. Yeah. Then it was quite difficult. I remember, I think the fifth or sixth year, I can't remember. But I was like, I don't think, I know God has said you're the one, and He has told me you're the one, but I think we should end it. Because I don't want to waste your time. That's what I told you. Yeah. I don't know if you remember CD yet. Yeah, I don't want to waste your time. It's like the price. I was ready to pay the price because I really wanted my dad's blessing. Like he said, people told me, and look, I even had strange people telling me, even get pregnant. I'm like, get pregnant? Are you joking? I'm not even sleeping with this person. How would I get pregnant? And so the elope was there. Some just said, you know, just get pregnant. Your daddy will agree. People have. I'm like, no. That's not what the Bible says, and I want a solid foundation. So it's what kind of daunting. And two, because I knew God told me about him, apart from me telling him, it's okay, baby, come. apart from
it's all right. Never let me just tell the two of you, never mind, because your house was very, 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 very quiet for 9 years. Very quiet. And I'm still going to get to that. How did you cope with that, those silence of 9 years? So don't worry, we are okay with the noise.
Yeah. So
Daisy, go on.
So because I understood the situation about what was causing the delay, so it was tiring. I remember that time I told him, you know what, let's end, because it's my cross to bear. So I was like, it's my blame that you are being put into this situation. And he told me no. And I remember then he said to me, he said, you don't know, it maybe God is teaching us to wait. Who knows? We might wait for our children.
But come on.
Click then. And he said, if some, he said, who knows? We might wait for our children. When that time comes, how would we go through it? Yeah, he said it then that time. So like what he said, one thing we did was strengthen the foundation of our marriage through the word. So we studied the word more. And another thing too, Pastor, I don't know if you remember, in 2012. So 2011, after the retreat, you told Daisy Pay something. So that's when I knew God was really, really interested in our marriage. You said you prayed, and God told you that we're not getting married that year. I don't think you remember. You told him not to tell me.
That's a dangerous thing to say.
You told him not to tell me, but because we're very open, he told me, and that's when I stopped praying desperately to get married. I was like, oh, God is in this thing. But then that same year, you told us after the retreat of 2011 going to 2012, I think it was the first Sunday, you said, remember, it was 7 years, something you did 7 years ago. And you were like, pray about it, that God should visit or God should turn you around that thing that you were believing in for 7 years ago. And I remember that year, 7 years ago, I told my dad about ASP. That was 2005. January 2005. So that was exactly 7 years, making it 12 years. I came and told you, I said, January 2005, I told my dad about ASP. And he was like, And he said, let's pray about it. I guess we got married that year.
Wow. Yeah. I think one of the things I remembered now as you're talking, can you remember that was a year? Maybe that's the year you were referring to, that you actually got, that's the year the UK government was giving people marriage
certificate of approval.
Okay, that you were meant to get married, you got the approval.
Yes.
Maybe that's the year you're referring to. Okay, yes. Because I can't even remember that conversation that maybe I did tell you that, you know, God said you are not getting married.
He told me to tell me, but he told me. And I was like,
to God be all the glory. And how did you cope with the silence for 9 years after you got married? Your house was very quiet. There was no sound of a baby.
Well, yeah, there was no sound of a baby, but I was also looking after people's children then. So it kind of like took my mind off. And I was always praying that very soon it would be my turn.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. To God be the glory.
Yeah.
And today, it's your turn.
Yes.
And tomorrow, it will be other people's turn who are watching. I just wanted to bring your family up. You know, because at times seeing when people see and hear. For example, now nobody will know that the journey of Adeze is actually 18 years, not 9.
Yeah.
18.
Yeah.
You know?
And just come in. If I can say something, when you say the silence, you know, while we were praying this evening at the 6 o'clock altar, your wife, Pastor Mrs. Rura, was leading, and she said something. She was saying about seeing, believing,
living,
receiving. During those years, The two, I think I need to say this for somebody, might bless someone. The two, two 9-year lots. One of the things that kept us was the word of God.
Yeah.
For the 9 years, we didn't hear the sound of the baby physically or see, but we saw the children, we saw things in the spirit. So, because one day I was reading my Bible and God spoke to me from Isaiah chapter 12 and gave me that we're going to have 3 children and these are their names. And the first one is joy. We're going to have joy, salvation, and praise. And
hallelujah.
For us, we've come to a point where when we hear God's word, we picture it. Yeah. We started buying baby things. Yeah. We started preparing the house. We started buying the cot. We started giving, you know, we at some point we had excess. We were giving baby things. And we there was something your wife said one time about rejoicing with them that rejoice. We made sure we rejoiced with people.
And that's tough. That's tough, my brother. That is really a tough thing to do.
Yeah, we rejoiced with people who, you know, who had children. I love children. I treated everyone's child like mine, protective of them, laughing, playing. We weren't threatened by the blessing of other people. Because that sometimes could block your blessing when you are jealous and envious about us to other people. The house wasn't silent for us. We were hearing their laughter, their cry, Adesis' cry in the spirit. And the same for the first 9 years while we were waiting. We had the word of God. We always hold on to God's word. And when we were going to the women's hospital, when we were having the miscarriages, when we were crying, you know, in the hospital, we'll be crying and we'll be encouraging other people. And then people will be looking at us because we knew God could not lie. You know, we knew God could not lie. I say to my wife, any day God lies, he stops being God. He would never be God. And he's too big to lie. So the silence was there. Sometimes we are reminded, but we always reminded ourselves. We always went back to the word. We put the word in our rooms, on our walls, the declaration for the church's declaration for the years. We put it on the wall. We became part of Compassion UK. We started praying for other children. We started. So for us, it wasn't. We weren't. We didn't feel the silence because we knew it was going to happen. It was just a matter of time.
Okay, let me ask Sapphire, because you know, as a woman, I know it. I mean, the woman bears the pain more and bears the cross more, you know. Was there any point that's, you know, directed to Sapphire? Because Sapphire, honestly, I'm saying this, at times, all those 9 years, I used to look at you that, are you a human being? You know, because the closest, most shocking to me was that third day where you just lost a baby, had a miscarriage. You came straight from the women's hospital, having whatever they do, flushed out a baby that you have been praying for with so much belief. It happened that year, and you came to service. You led the praise and worship, I thought, and then everybody had gone, and then the two of you, I still remember, as I'm talking, I'm shivering. And then you both called us, and then you said you came straight from the hospital that you just lost it. That pregnancy, we were believing, we were thanking God for it. I used to look at you that, honestly, are you a human being? I don't know how you coped, Sapphire, but I know it wasn't easy. Of course, the most toughest one was that 30th of November into 1st of December. I will never forget that day for the rest of my life. 5 months old. Was it 5 months?
Yes. Yes, sir.
5 months fetus. You lost that one again. For the woman, I know it can be easy. I mean, what would you say? You've been through it. You've been through that valley of the shadow of death. Let me put it that way. And God has been with you. And, you know, I want to openly celebrate you because I don't know how you did it. You know, we men can talk about faith and talk about Bible and you are the one feeling it. So what do you have to say, Sapphire? Let me first of all ask you a question. Are you a human being? Please tell us today.
So yes, I'm a human being. And I learned from you and Pastor Wura. You've lost the baby before and you still went to...
Well, man, we didn't go through what you went through.
Another thing too, you've been hammering something. When I use the word hammering, or been teaching us something about being leaders. And at home, we say to ourselves that when we are sent to war, what happens to the generals? They could hear bad news, but they still go to war. So we are leaders. And Ezebel always tells us we are generals in God's army. We cry behind closed doors. As generals, we have to come out and be strong for the people following us. That day that we lost the baby and I came home and I wanted to sleep, but I felt led to come to church. I remember that day I sent a message to some people in choir that if they could lead. Some told me they'd be late from work. Are you okay, baby? And some, I got messages back like, oh, we'll try and see if we should meet up. Because I was meant to meet that day, but I just sent a quick message. I might not make it to church early or something. But when I saw those responses, I said to myself, okay, am I saying because of this thing that I'm not going to worship God? Am I saying because of this thing that God is not good? And I reminded myself, and my husband said, yes, that do remember that we said to ourselves that we are generals. That what do generals do when, let's say a general hears that his son has died, would he say he's not going to war? I said, they'll still go and lead the battle because of the people following. So I said, okay, you're a leader. There might be one or two people looking up to you. Just go worship God. And that day I was not angry at God. I think I even changed the songs to like, I come before you today, those kind of songs, just to say thank you. I think I changed the songs to show him that, yes, I'm going through this pain, but at the same time, I'm grateful. Because one, like Ezebel was talking about the house not being silent, but he has revealed to me my children. As soon as I saw Adesia, I remember the dream I had about it.
That you had seen her.
Yes, I've even seen the boys. So I was like, oh, is this you? And I was laughing. I said to my husband that this is her. This is who I saw. So I remember those dreams. And I was like, I don't know why. Then that day was a girl. I don't know why she didn't stay. But you know best.
She was actually born. She lived for about five, a few minutes.
Yeah, she was still in the stack anyway.
She was still moving.
She was too small to put in the incubator. Yeah. So it's too small to put in the incubator. So, yeah, so I just remember those things. And I was like, one thing I've learned to do over the years is not to transfer my aggression to God, despite the situation. When things don't work out how I want it, I go within myself and I'm like, okay, why? What do you want me to learn from this? And I see it also as a test, like, is this going to stop you from worshiping me? So that's the thing. I put myself in as a general in the army who has people for leading, and I'm like, a general will still go to war no matter what. And let things be falling, let the house be burning. You'll still go to war, and that's how I see worship, as a war, not that you're So I, and also seeing God good in everything, despite like when we lost the boy, I remember coming out of that scan room. I said, God, I don't know what you are doing, but I think I've had enough. This is baby 5 or baby 6. I told him, I was like, I don't know what you're doing, but I think I've had enough. I'm getting tired.
In 9 years, lost 5 pregnancies.
And so 7.
Lost 7?
In 9 years, yes. Officially. Officially wow. 7. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. So that's how my mind works. So I try not to transfer the aggression at, oh, because he didn't do this, I'm not coming to church. Because he didn't do this, I'm not going to pray. Because yes, there were days I'll be down with prayers, but one thing I made sure to do was in the house, worship plays all the time. There's an iPad that is left on for it's on in our bedroom, it's on. It's always playing. Yeah. So I try not to by God's grace, I don't transfer the aggression like, oh God, you didn't answer that prayer. So today I'm not leading worship because no. I had to grow to that level.
Thank you, Lord. You know, talking about generals, you know, general is not a title. A general is someone who's battle weary, who has seen war. They don't just, you know, like some countries we shouldn't mention. They don't appoint generals. You earn the stripes, those stripes that they put. So we thank God. I mean, these people were just divinely innovating this service, unscripted. I just told them, look, I've been looking forward to this day, actually. And we have questions. Please, if you have any questions, please go ahead and ask the questions. What was laid on my heart to share was Genesis chapter 1. I'll just give us the scripture. Genesis chapter 1 from verse 1 to the end, John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3, and Hebrews chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3. In those three scriptures, it explains how God innovates, and by innovating, doing something new, creating something out of seemingly out of nothing, when it was dark, when it was empty, when it was formless, that at times shows, describes the phases of life we go through. There are times when things are not taking shape. Things are going out of shape. Like they say, pear-shaped. You just can't explain. There are the moments of emptiness where you just feel so empty, so hopeless, so void. And then darkness, where it's just a horror of darkness. I know there might be times, you know, in those, you know, we thank God today we can talk about 9 and then another 9 years, where it's like some horror of darkness just comes. You know, I want to celebrate the two of you. And I know I deliberately and intentionally, and I know it's by the Spirit of God, so that people can see you. People can see your family. They can see and be encouraged. We have those who also, as they are seeing you, they will see themselves in you. Wow. They will see what they also want to see and trusting and believing for to the glory. And it's all to the glory of God. Mm-hmm. All to the glory of God. And thank you, everybody, for watching. And I know you are encouraged. I know. And we thank God. Thank you, Sapphire. Thank you, Ezekiel. Thank you, Adaize. We give God all the glory. So let's look at the questions, okay? If the media team can help us, let's see how we can look at some of these questions and get practical about it. For the past 2 weeks, Ezekiel was sharing with us, like I said, practically, from the Bible, we saw the people who created, who innovated. There were situations, circumstances calling for creativity, innovations. And we saw, he brought them out, the people who created in the Bible, the people who did things in the Bible. I think you mentioned, you know, the way you brought out Samson. You know, everybody will have seen the donkeys, the jawbone of a donkey. And that's all they saw. But by divine innovation, by the Spirit of God that came upon him, that he didn't see a donkey's the jaw of a dead donkey. He saw a weapon of mass destruction. You know, destroy the whole army. Which other examples did you give, sir? I know you gave
the example of the most powerful innovation is divine innovation is salvation. And mm-hmm. we see God doing that with Adam and Eve when they sinned.
That's right.
Did that through killing an animal and using the skin to make clothes for them. All of God's innovations are usually for saving humanity, mankind. We see that with Noah, saving the family of Noah. God gives us innovation for saving our families. Doing things that have never been done in your family. Maybe no one in your family has ever had a PhD. No one has ever, you know, succeeded in their marriages, or no one has ever crossed a school certificate level. But God always is innovating. So we see that with Noah. We see that with Jacob when he found out genetics. God, you know, he saw in a vision, in a dream, God giving him the idea of genetics and saving him from poverty and just being servitude. So there are so many examples that. With Jesus, you know, people having to pay their debt or tax bills. Jesus innovated, you know, said to Peter, go to the stream, cast your net, you're going to catch a fish. You're going to see gold in the mouth. Divine innovation is for saving us and delivering us. I remember when the 9 years that we waited, and when it was time for us to get married, for when God was opening the door, you know, he spoke through you, Grandma Kukoyi and Pastor Wura, in trenches. You said it was time to go. That was the instruction you told us. And I remember the first thing I told you, I said, Pastor, I don't have any money to, you know, even buy tickets. You said, it is time. Just go and prepare your mind. And as I got home that day, the money we needed for the flight, fortunately, as God will have it, divine innovation, her father, who had been saying no, sent her money for upkeep, and that was enough to buy the tickets to go.
Wow.
Your wife told us the wisdom on how to approach him, what to buy, what to present, a gift. And when we presented it, he was like, wow. So divine innovation is usually when, you know, it's a product and fruit of the Holy Spirit.
Okay. And let me stop you there, Ezekiel. Because when you flew, it wasn't like you were going to, I mean, you didn't, if I remember, it wasn't like you were going to marry.
No.
You got there.
We went to bed.
And the Spirit of God came upon Adan. And right there conducted a traditional wedding. Awesome. Awesome. That was mind-blowing.
I remember my uncle, because when you gave us the word, you know, I've always, you know, Bible said, believe God and you prosper, believe his prophets, it will be well with you. I told my uncle, my mom, I said, that they should meet us in Ghana, that we are going to see Safai's dad. My uncle, I will never forget, he asked me, the last time we went, they embarrassed us. Are you sure this man is ready to receive us? Are you sure? Has he agreed to receive us? I said, Uncle, come. God's word has gone ahead. Just come. Everything is fine. We got there. And he said, the first day he said, no, I'm not seeing anybody. I'm not seeing anybody. And as God would have it, then he then mellowed and said, okay, let them come the next day. So divine innovation always, I think why God is giving us this word for this season is because it's key. It's a vital element to us arising and shining.
Okay. All right. Let's look at the questions people are asking. So again, please, you have a question, you can ask on the Facebook comment. You can ask on the YouTube comment also. And Slido, okay, hashtag is JESUSCHRIST, Jesus Christ, one word, all uppercase. There's a question here. Okay. All right. Somebody's appreciating you. Thanks, Carlos, for sharing your story. My partner is a Catholic, and I'm trying to convince her to change, but I don't know what to do. Interesting. Okay, you know what? Do you want to say something there?
I think it's important to go back to this matter. No man can change anybody.
Come on.
You cannot, if you try Come to on. Do, you manipulate people. You coerce people. My wife gave her life to Jesus Christ. She gave her life to Christ. She met Jesus and she became born again.
She was a Catholic.
Yeah.
Then she gave her life to Christ.
So when you say you're trying to convince her, I think you should be talking to the Holy Spirit.
Come on.
It's the Holy Spirit that can convict and convert the soul. That's the first thing. And two, one of the things I've learned in Love Assembly is to love people. Remove the denomination, remove the ethnicity, remove everything. Love conquers all. I remember Pastor telling me, honor your father-in-law, honor him. And I could have said, I could recount the things he did, not wanting to see me, and all that. But love conquers all. And I just kept loving. I kept loving. When it was hard, I kept loving for years. Today I'm like his best son. How it happened, I don't know, but I just kept loving. He will call me, he will talk to me, he will say, oh, don't go, stay, and love just conquers. So I'll just encourage you to love, and to the importance of discipleship as well, because sometimes you don't know how to do it. And I think Pastor and Pastor Mrs. Wura really helped us. So sometimes you need people that have gone ahead to also speak into your life. That speaking into your life is not just prophesying. It could be, don't do it like this. Do it like this. Don't do it like this. Do it like this. And so that's what I'll say. I'll say pray, keep praying, keep loving, engage with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will do a far better job than anybody can do.
That's right. That's right. Thank you very much. That was very apt. Very apt. It's nobody can change anybody. It's the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. So you, the partner, please keep on growing in your own faith, in your love, in your walk with the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God will direct you. Will direct you. Okay? All right, let's go to the next question. Thank you, media team. Okay, as a parent, in a situation where I've done all I can for a child, almost 40, not living responsibly, not working, or keeps taking salary, etc. Not working, but keeps taking salary. Do you mean taking pocket money? Maybe that's what that person means. Maybe the person keeps taking pocket money. Okay. Right. Now, this is a parenting. Now, when I say parenting, and please, with all due respect, I'm not saying maybe the person is a bad parent or anything like that. But you see, when we have someone who is almost 40, okay, you use the word child, that person's not a child anymore. That's an adult. It's a child that we can train. And usually the Bible, and I look at the scriptures, and the scriptures is very real. I'm telling you the truth. You train a child. That's what the Bible says. In the way which he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. So what I will say to this person, can we go back to when this person was a child? Okay? If you can cast your mind back, because this thing we're going to fix at 40 began from childhood. So if we can go back, you know, Ezekiel, you are also in the property, you know, construction business now. So you know what I'm talking about. Mm. You can put up a property and then you are noticing cracks, walls are caving in. It's down to the foundation. So we've got to go back. Okay? Let the Spirit of God help you. Did anything go wrong while he was a child? Are there things that we didn't put in place? You know, the reality, I was talking with an adult recently who's around 56 years old. And we were talking about parenting. And the person uttered something that really touched me. I mean, really struck a chord. I was just talking about, you know, how I was brought up, the things I saw with my parents, and that in all sincerity, God bless them. You know, most of you know they're late now. In their own humanity, they made their mistakes. I'm learning, and I chose to learn from their mistakes. They brought up four children to the glory of God. The four of us today are in the Lord. But I wouldn't say my parents were saints. I wouldn't say they were perfect. I know there were mistakes. So I was sharing with this person that there were some mistakes when we were children that I noticed when I put it side by side with the scriptures that our parents made. But along the line, when we all got saved, things like this started getting amended. So this person was now telling me, you know, when I just look back, I see the mistakes my father made, and it affected me when I, as an adult, that we were not really close, because some things that were meant to be when I was a child were not there. But, well, to the glory of God, we can only make up for those times now. So I will say, please go back. Okay? You are looking at the person at 40. But the person at 40 didn't turn 40. They are not what they are now today. It started from childhood. So if there are some things that were wrong from the foundation, just pray. Pray. At times, a simple conversation. I'm telling you. Because, Ezekiel, I've met some people who deliberately, they are old, but they want to punish their parents because they remember something that happened in their childhood. So you know what? I will be a problem to you now that I'm an adult. They do it intentionally. But you see, the power of the Spirit of God, the power of forgiveness, the power of repentance, especially maybe on the part of the parents. You know, I say this, I notice that children who are firstborns, I don't know if this person is the person's firstborn, or maybe it's the first of the gender you have. Okay, I don't know. But usually firstborns are like experiments. What do I mean? You were never a child before. I mean, you were never a parent before. That child made you a parent. So you are using the child to learn, to try your, you know, what you know and what you don't know. And if you don't know anything, you know, that's what you're going to do. You're going to bring up the child the way you know, sincerely. But, you know, bringing this up, I believe God is going to do something, and that's why you're asking this question. And by the grace of God, I'm praying for you. We are praying for you that God will heal and restore the years the locust, palmer worm has eaten. Whatever has gone wrong with this adult, We go back to their childhood. Holy Spirit, please, we pray. We ask, Lord, go to the root of this. Reveal the root of this and bring solution, healing. I pray right now, we're talking about divine innovation. That Lord, this parent will learn something new. How to do, change their style, change their relationship, change their methods. Lord, that will bring the right amendment to this situation. In the name of Jesus. And Lord, we pray for this particular person. You know them. We don't know them. You know their heart. And Lord, we pray for healing. If there be bitterness, let it be uprooted. But more than anything, let them know you. Let them know you. And let them begin to honor their parents also. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Pastor, if I can just just from a perspective of a child, can I suggest you know, growing up in certain cultures, we don't see our parents telling us where they got it wrong and apologizing.
That's right.
It can. We don't understand the impact it can make on children. In this case, an adult. You know, my mom started, you know, telling us, you know, some of the challenges why she made some decisions. You know, she dropped me with, kept me with my grandparents, and I didn't understand why. But for a young lady who was in university, looking after me in university would have been a struggle. So sometimes, you know, parents, you know, for that parent who's asking that question, your children, do they know your story?
Do they know
the challenges you had to go through, the pain you went through, the mistakes you made? Maybe it's also a good place, because sometimes parents try to overcompensate for their mistakes. And in so doing, go the extreme as well. So it might be a good idea to, you know, pull that person and, you know, just share your story with them.
That's right.
You know, have an open
conversation. Yeah.
Yeah, have an open conversation. You know, some parents, you know, didn't see their children. Maybe they were in the army, in the military, didn't see their children growing up. And, you know, tell them your story. Tell them your story and the challenges. And if you need to apologize, do so. And you see healing. You know, you see, amen, as we prayed, God, you see God,
that's
you
right,
know, using, and just being open with God as well, you know, and say, Lord, I've missed it here. You know, I didn't get it right here. Help me.
Mm. Very, very true. Thank you for that. Very, 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 very true. Okay. And as we've prayed, I believe there's healing and the practical steps you need to take, the Spirit of God will guide you. Amen. How did God command light out of darkness? Very interesting question. Okay, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, the Bible describes the state of the earth. And one of the state was that darkness covered the earth, covered the face of the deep. The King James puts it that way. And what we see there is that God said, let there be light. And there was light. The question is, where did that light come from? See, that's the question. We're talking about divine innovation. There was something that Ezekiel shared, you know, over the past 2 weeks, that in cooperation, I don't know exactly how you put it, with the Spirit of God, innovate, create. Right? In cooperation. Now, when you look at that Genesis 1, three themes were present there. When I say three, okay, don't let me use the word three themes. We had, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So God, okay? And then it says the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. That's the Holy Spirit. What we refer to as the Holy Spirit today. Say the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering. But look at it. God created the heavens and the earth. His Spirit was hovering, but nothing happened. What brought the change? Look at it. The next verse, God said, he spoke, the word was one, what brought the light, and there was light. But then, listen, there's something again that I'm trying to, not exactly the way Zipper put it. You see, creation starts first in the spirit. Whatever you are going to bring out, create into the open. And when I say spirit, let me break it down because I like speaking in layman's language. It could come in form of an idea, an inspiration. You don't see it. You know, spirit just means unseen. Okay? That's just another way. You don't see. But then you cannot bring out, you cannot create, manifest what was not first in you. And how did it get into you? The Spirit of God puts it into you. So in the context of God, okay, where do you think that light came from? The light was in God. The Bible tells us God is light. And in him is no darkness at all. So God simply brought out what was in him. He brought the light in him out. When we say somebody has an idea, you know, cartoonists capture it, light bulb, light, illumination. You just get an illumination and you bring it out. That is how to innovate. You said something very profound, if I can remember, my memory not failing me. Every one of us, we have got in us the capacity to create. The question is, what's inside you? What exactly is in you? If you have the Spirit of God, you can create things like God. Because when you go down to that Genesis, ultimately God said, let's make someone like me. Who's like us? Who can also operate the way I operated? How did God operate? God, the Spirit, and the Word. Like we learned, we speak it, we declare it. What is in us, we bring it out. Creation. John chapter 1 from verse 1 to 3 says, look at it again. In the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you look down, you now said in that word was life. And that life, life was the light of men. So how did God command light out of darkness? That's it. He spoke what was in him out. That's how we innovate. By the help of the Spirit of God. So the Spirit of God drops it in you. And you bring it out. So God had light in him, and God simply brought the light out into the darkness. And darkness can never, any day, stand against light. That's why if you and I create, innovate by the Spirit of God, we are unstoppable. Darkness can't stop divine innovation. So God, you know, the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. But then, let me give you the scripture of God commanding light out of darkness. You will see the word light there again. I think it's 2 Corinthians. Let me get a scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. If we can bring this up, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. Very interesting, Ezekiel. Just look at this scripture. It was talking of God commanding light out of darkness. But let's see. You see where that light came from now. From that scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And verse number 6. Okay. It's question and answer, people. So please keep your question coming. It says, let me read here. 2 Corinthians 4 says, for God, who commanded light to shine out of darkness, who has shown in our hearts to give, look at it, the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ Jesus. See, God commanded light. God simply brought what was in him. And then you know what he has done to us too? He has shown in our hearts too. He's given us the light too. If anyone comes to Christ, if you now have a relationship with God, if your spirit is now connected to God, the light of God comes into your spirit and you birth it. You can divinely create. That's why it's just amazing the things we can do with ordinary things. Ordinary. Sir, you gave examples last week of people, Michael Faraday, Isaac Newton. I'm trying to remember the people you brought up.
Who was that guy?
Who was that guy who read the Bible more than physics?
There were so many. I've forgotten his name.
You mentioned it last week.
I mentioned it last week.
I think it was Faraday or something.
Yeah.
You know.
Pastor, you know, as you were talking, an example came to me how God commanded light to come out of darkness. He showed me a picture of a refuse dump.
Okay.
And, you know, then showed me a mango tree coming out of the refuse dump.
Mm-hmm.
The darkness is there, but God can command anything to come out of anything because he knows it. There's a capacity. In my family, apart from my mom, nobody had ever graduated from a university. So you could call that a darkness. And when I gave my life to Christ, I was the one at some point, my mom called me and said, you know, I was suspended from school, I was expelled, you know, I was just lost in sin. And one day my mom called me and said, at this rate, I think we should just open a mechanic workshop for you because it's like, you know, it's like the way you are going. But I became the best math student in my family. I became the first to graduate in my family when I met God. So that is God calling light out of darkness where people have written me off. You know, some teachers like Debbie was sharing, some teachers said I would never know math. But God come. I failed in my primary four. There were a lot of things, but in spite of all that, God brought out beauty from my ashes. The first to travel out of the country. So it's an example that God, by the Holy Spirit, can turn your life. And no matter what people have said about you, the day you encounter the Spirit of God, He can make light, illumination, solution come out of you. You know, a country that this country have been written of, God can do anything. He can cause light to come out of darkness. He can cause water to come out of a rock. He makes the impossible possible. He can make a woman without a womb have children. He can make the... God is, if only we can engage with the Spirit.
That's right. You know, why God can do that is always through His word. Let's not forget, it is the word of God that created everything we can see. If His word created everything we can see, His word can recreate, move things around. Are you getting me? Just move things around. The same word. That's why Hebrews 11, especially that verse 3 says, the worlds adjusted themselves to the word. So anything that the word of God says, adjust to it.
It is on our
lips. We too should speak it because we are created like Him. You know, somebody once said something. He said God cannot, because the Bible says God cannot lie. So even if God wants to lie, this way, I love the way the Betty put it, and it's all something that is black. And he says this is white because he can't lie. That black thing will turn white. That's the power of the word of God we see happening in that Genesis chapter 1. Awesome. Okay, there, I understand there's one more question. Okay, let's put it. Yeah, God cannot lie. Does giving your life to Christ mean you can only listen to gospel music? Beautiful question. Let me tell you this, okay? Many years ago, Ezekiel, I was, when we give our lives to Christ, do you know what the slang we used to use in those days? You say you saw the light. You have seen the light. You were in the darkness before. Now you've seen the light. That's what we used to say. That thing is deep. Now, before I, became a Christian, I was deep into music. I mean, I used to sing. I wasn't singing. It was after I got saved, I started singing. But those days, I used to rap. We used to mime. I used to dance. I was really deep into music, all sorts of music. Okay? So I got saved. But this music will come back, and all that. So I was wondering. It was a struggle. And then one day I said, let me even study about music. And I said, Holy Spirit, I want to really know about music. Now, let me say this up front. You see, the role of the devil when it was Lucifer and the angel, Lucifer in heaven, he was in worship. But let me tell you something, Zipwe. Not just Ezekiel, using Ezekiel because I can see him. We think that music, we think worship is about music. So when we want to worship, okay, let's put music. No. Worship is the worth, the value of God, what God is worth to us. If God is worth everything, that determines how I relate with him. That is worth-ship. It's worth my time. It's worth my life. It's worth everything I do. It's everything. That is worth-ship. Music is just a part of it. Now, I need to establish that. Music is just a part of it. Music is not worship. Worship is just part. Sorry. Music is not worship. Right? Worship is not music. Music is just a part, an aspect. Out of my worship relationship with God, I can now write a song and call it worship music. So now let's talk about music. I went and I said, Holy Spirit, what is music? Please teach me from the Bible. I don't want anything academic. So I went and I remember, took me to Genesis chapter 1. That same Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. That what is music? That music is a combination of sounds. Sounds arranged, and then they arrange in a way, and then it forms a pattern, it goes through a sequence. We call it music. Okay? Even noise itself. the Bible says make a joyful noise. Noise is uncoordinated sound. As long as it's joyful. That's why worship is not music. It's not having a good voice, is it? We can be good, skillful at doing that. Develop your skill. Please be good at what you do. Because everything God made in Genesis 1, good. When he got to man, he said, very good. So let's be good at what we do. Let's be very good, excellent. The spirit of excellence. But it's what's behind it. Because that's what God looks at. Right. So I began to see it's a combination of sounds. And I said, where was the first sound made? Genesis 1. How? When God spoke, Ezekiel. That was sound. And that is the origin of music. Word. And Jesus now explained that words are spirit. So the music, the question we should just ask ourselves is, what is inspiring it? What is the spirit, let me put it that way, behind the music? Because some music, Ezekiel, Once you, it's teaching you about life. There are some music that is talking about, you know, a man writes a song and he's talking about the love he has for his wife. Do you know it can be inspired by the Spirit of God? There's some very, you know, words out there. So it's the words we should look at. The inspiration behind the words. Because some of the things some people even call gospel music today is not gospel music. I remember, you know. So, you know what I began to do when I started gathering and understanding? I now started changing the words of songs I used to know. When I wasn't a Christian, I will now change the words into words that, you know, kind of talk about, you know, glorified God and things inspired by the Bible. But then one day I just thought that the Spirit of God is a creative spirit. God can give you words and sound, fresh, creative. Do you know music has never ended and it can never end? You hear one song today, you think that's the end. So the question we should just ask ourselves, what is the story behind this? You know, by the grace of God, you know, our first son is into music. I just tell him, anything you see, make sure there's a message. There's a message behind it. You may not be mentioning God, but what is inspiring you and what is the message? You know, there was a man who sang a song, very popular song then in Nigeria. And the song, very popular. The man is not even a Nigerian. I found out he was from Cameroon. The man was called Prince Nico Mbaga. He sang a song called Sweet Mother. Sweet Mother, I no go forget you. Sorry for those who may not understand broken English. He sang it all in broken English. And then a man called Panam Percy Paul that we know, worship, he's into worship and all that. He now said he listened one day to the words of that song. And he said he found it so inspirational. But the only thing is that that song, the only person who can really fit into everything that Sweet Mother can do, because the song itself, when you look at it, is a song of honor. Honoring his mother for the labor, for the care, for the everything that she did. When I don't sleep, my mother won't sleep. She's not tired. You know, when I don't eat, she won't eat. When I do, you know, very, you know. So he said he listened to it. And he said, wow, this song will be perfectly complete if really the mother there is God. You know, that aspect of God, El Shaddai, talks about God being the mother. Really, you know, God as a God, the high and breasted one, you know. So he now changed, he made it very comical. He said, I preached to that song, and the song got born again. And then here is the born again version. He now changed the words from Sweet Mother to Sweet Jesus, I no go forget you, for this suffer where you suffer for me. So music, please just check the message behind the music, because what is the gospel? The gospel is simply put the word of God. Wow, our time has gone.
Pastor, just very quickly, the question the person is asking, I think sometimes we fall into this religiosity, of, you know, you just explained it. Songs that edify, do they edify your soul? Do they connect you with God? The lyrics, what are the words of the songs? You know, a lot of you might not know this. In America, they refer to gospel music as black music. Black gospel songs done by black Christians, black people, that's what they call gospel. And they call songs done by white people contemporary Christian music.
I first heard what you said from Sapphire one day. I shook my head. Did they just set it?
Yeah. So the question is, you know, listen to anything that will edify you. There are some songs that are like Candle Messiah. It was a Christian, another innovator. No, it's just composer. It just, you listen to it, you want to cry. You listen to it and you go like, why do people listen to this? But, you know, does it edify you?
Does it edify?
It edifies the question.
Yeah.
Does it edify? Does it glorify? Does it glorify God? Does it minister to you?
That's right. What's the message? You know, this is conveying. So I gave Noah one assignment. There's a song we've been playing. I said, Noah, let's change this lyrics of this song, okay? Let's work on it. You know, it's a song in Portuguese. You know, I said we'll change it. On that note, please celebrate the Kalus. Thank you, Sapphire, Dada, Adaize, and Ezipe. Thank you for coming on tonight. I know maybe it's past. Is this past our bedtime?
She was
okay. We're innovating a new bedtime for her. So we celebrate you, the Kalus. Thank you for coming on tonight at unscripted and short notice. People won't believe it was when we were about coming on to the studio. I said, Sapphire, please, can you join us with Adaize? So that's how the Bible study is called innovation. We innovated tonight's service, even though I had all the things I wanted to share and with Zikwe there. So thank you for your time. Thank you for all the contributions. Thank you for all the comments, lovely comments people are putting there. Somebody said waiting on the Lord can be tiring, but the goodness is that it is worth the wait. Yes. And you guys are living testimonies of that. It is really worth the wait. Somebody joked. I think this was in answer to when I was asking Sapphire. Is she a human being? Said, nobody said, no, she's a spirit. Well, yes, Sapphire, she's a spirit being in a human body. Yes. Blessings to the Kalus. And does giving your life to Christ mean in the summer? Oh, but this is somebody just throwing this in. In summer, you can't wear clothes that doesn't cover all your body, not revealing clothes, but clothes that you feel comfy in. Let me just tell you, Ezekiel gave us a scripture. When God divinely innovated clothes, God, the author of clothes were designed to cover our nakedness. That's the purpose of clothes. Don't abuse it. Exposing yourself and exposing them, you know, go back to the Garden of Eden, okay? Before the glory departed. Clothes, the purpose of clothes is to cover our nakedness. So if you are wearing clothes, why are you naked? If there's anything like that, why are you now wearing clothes that, you know, will naked you again? You know, Sapphire, let me say this. I want to say this, and I'm not saying openly. I have never seen Sapphire dress. I'm telling you this. I've watched your dress change. I have never seen Sapphire dress. Where are you? Bear me witness. I have never. I'm telling you, I've known Sapphire for only God knows how many years now. I've never seen you dress. What's the word?
Indecently.
Never. So please, clothes. Yeah? When there's a saying that when the purpose of a thing is not no abuse, is inevitable. So if we sit down to start asking ourselves, what's the purpose of this? What's the purpose of that? We will stop abusing ourselves, abusing this thing. Clothes are to cover nakedness. Whether summer, whether winter, whether whatever. Just look for something. It may be light clothing, but please cover your nakedness. Some of us don't want to see it.
Pastor, maybe the you know, everything, like you keep saying, everything is in the Bible. It's a manual for living. Maybe the person should go and study the dressing of priests. God gave an instruction that, you know, they should wear undergarments. They should cover them so that when they are going out to worship, their nakedness is not exposed. Mm. So if we look at the dressing of a priest, whether male or female, is for covering. Yes, there's the geographical context as well to that takes into consideration the weather. But it's, you know, it's, you know, the Bible says we should be decent.
Yeah, weather or no weather, there's thick clothing for where it's very cold, and there's light clothing. But please let it cover. And it's not just about women, men also, okay? Yeah. Men also. So we're not being sexist here. But, you know, it's just because men usually are, you know, we are moved by what you see. You know, I don't want to see anything, please. On that note, come on, everybody. All right, thank you, people. God bless you. Thank you, Carlos.
Thank you, sir. Thank you,
all right, then. We are kings and priests. Let's dress like kings and priests. God bless you. Good night. We'll hand over to the media. Bye, Adeze. Bye.
Bye.